For the first time ever, Western Massachusetts Regional Women's Correctional Centre opened its doors to a television crew.
This is our house. You're a visitor.
Giving incredible access to this uniquely female space.
Can you back up for me, please?
That is home to some of America's most dangerous women.
All I can see is my whole hand filled with blood.
Girl got her eyes beat.
When someone swings first, win the fight.
Charged with everything from drug trafficking, armed robbery, gang violence, and even murder. Our cameras captured every shocking and sometimes surprising moment of life behind bars. But jail life can be explosive, and every day can be a battle to stay safe.
Do you feel like you're going to harm yourself?
Oh my God.
When good girls go bad, anything can happen.
This is fucking... Oh my God, I want to take something.
Victoria Diaz, known as Baby D, likes to throw her weight around in pre-trial pod 3A.
I'm very loud, outspoken, very violent, yep, impulsive.
There was reports of Victoria, Miss Diaz, doing some bullying, kind of pushing her weight around in the unit, which is typical for Victoria.
If I don't like you, I'm rude as hell.
She has already forced one inmate into protective custody, and tensions are rising with some of the new inmates who are challenging her authority.
Because in the new girls, they don't know where to sit. They try to sit at your table and you have to tell them to get up. These new girls don't know where they're going.
When we get a new shipment of zombies, for when they come in, we constantly have to tell them, like, and they need to settle down, sit down somewhere. When they come, they have to, like, to sit back and observe, like, see who's top dog here, see who's running things.
We were laughing at you,
Oh, here come the cutties.
One of the new girls, Megan, really gets on Baby D's nerves.
I can't with that girl. I knew right off rip that I didn't like her, and then I, you know, fell back a little bit, tried to give her a chance, and I knew the second time, I really don't like this girl, like, trying to prove herself way too hard, and you don't need to do that. Like, it's either you are or you aren't, and she just isn't. She was just being extra, real extra. She was making a fool of herself.
Tensions are continuing to rise between Baby D's crew and a group of new inmates, including Megan.
This is actually the second time I've been here. Last time I was here, I was only here for like a day and a half.
Baby D doesn't like Megan, who she calls Cherry Face.
I really don't like this girl. Like, she's just too much.
Megan was roomed in a cell with Tiny, who is part of Baby D's crew.
So then they put Tiny in the room, knowing damn well Tiny's a part of that
group. I don't know why administration would even do that. If you know that... No, this is what they... No, because when they was at the desk, they were telling them to break up the cliques. They were like, you need to mix these rooms up and break up the cliques, or we're going to have to start moving people.
This strategy didn't end well. Tiny and Megan had a fight at night in their cell.
Megan was sleeping, like she was sleeping in bed. Like she told me probably an hour before this happened that she was going to sleep. She literally pulled her out by her hair and Tiny got her ass beat for it. She was sleeping. I'm like, girl, I'm yelling at the door, I'm like, are you all right? She's like, yeah, I was sleeping.
Megan and Tiny were put in segregation for the fight.
I'm in segregation because some people don't respect their elders. And when someone swings first, win the fight.
I was really mad about the fight with Tiny, about Cherry Face fighting Tiny. I was really upset about it. Because if I could get out my door, and if the other COs wasn't already in there, I probably would have jumped in the fight and beat up Cherry Face, but whatever.
The next morning, Baby D is still simmering.
I was still angry about it, but I wasn't really, you know, being vocal about it. I was just, you know, I was talking to everybody at my table.
Ms. Diaz was at morning breakfast with the rest of the unit, and we had another white inmate had a verbal confrontation with Ms. Diaz in the dining hall while they were eating their breakfast.
She was bragging about it, like, oh, she beat that girl up, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not cute. The girl started cussing, and I was ignoring her at first, and some other girl on my table was arguing with her.
The younger white girl ended up throwing a milk carton or a loaded milk carton at Ms. Diaz.
I blacked out. I stood up, she stood up, and I don't know. They asked me who threw the first punch, I probably did. I don't know. She was smaller than me. She was like, you know, my whole head space smaller than me, but we fought.
Ms. Diaz is a pretty large girl, and she seems to be carrying a lot of weight in the unit. A fight did ensue, and it did look like that Ms. Diaz kind of got the better of her.
Girl got her ass beat. Talking shit.
Doesn't really make much difference. The girl saved face, and maybe Ms. Diaz maybe lost a little bit of face at the point because she didn't have somebody else protecting her or somebody else doing her dirty work for her. She had to do it herself. So they have other people do their dirty work. And as you can see, she takes her down. The officer did a great job getting involved right away before anybody got hurt. Takes the aggressor to the ground. Ms. Diaz goes right to the ground when ordered to by the officer. You can't really see, but she's on the other side of this table with her hands, she's on her belly with her hands behind her back, waiting to be handcuffed.
But she threw her milk at me. Like, we was just exchanging words and shit, and she threw her milk at me. So I got up, she got up, and we started fighting. And she ain't getting out one hit in, bitch.
So from 3A, Tiny, Megan, Baby D, and her attacker, Rachel, are all in segregation.
I knew that was gonna happen. You don't get into a fight and then go back to your unit. Like, I'm the one that decided to stand up and hit the girl, so I'll pay the price for it.
Alrighty, thank you, Ms. Diaz.
Here in pre-trial pod 3B, the inmates have been repeatedly breaking the rules, and senior officer Captain Pitts has come to read the riot act.
They say lock in, you lock in. My job isn't here to counsel you. My job isn't here to be your friend. My job is to make sure that you are safe while you are in our custody. Your job is to self-reflect. Why am I here? And what poor choices did I make to get me here? Thinking that this is your house, because I'm gonna tell you right now, this is our house. You're a visitor. You are a visitor. You don't run anything here. We run it. This is it. This is your last shot. But right now, you have 60 seconds left, and let's go.
Due to this bad behavior, the inmates will remain on lockdown as a punishment. They'll have to stay in their cells for more than 22 hours a day until further notice.
Yesterday, I guess they said that we locked in too slow. So now we're locked down again, when we just came off a four-day lock. It's just bullshit. I've never been to a jail in my life that locks us down over, like, petty shit.
24-year-old armed robber Franklin was transferred here a week ago from Wyatt Federal Prison in Rhode Island.
The armed robbery I committed, I had a knife. I went to, like, a chiropractor, and it was a lady there, and I pulled out the knife, wasn't nowhere close to her, told her, give me everything, if you say anything, like, you know, I'll stab you or whatever. She ran out, like, behind me, and she's like, God's gonna get you for this, you're not gonna get away. 20 minutes later, the police was behind me. I'm transgender. I've made that decision since I was about 20 years old. One reason why I really identify as transgender is because I feel like I'm a male trapped in a female's body.
As the only trans man in 3B, Franklin gets a lot of attention.
So because Mr. Franklin is more masculine in the pod, it kind of causes a flock of the other women to see what he's all about, what his situation is, and they're just basically trying to get attention from him for the most part. So causes a little bit of boundary issues with the other women.
I've had plenty gel romances, actually. And some of them turned out bad, some of them turned out good.
Franklin was transferred here after he was caught in another woman's cell, which is a violation of PREA, the Prison Rape Elimination Act.
So PREA is a federal law that was developed to prevent sexual assault with prisoners in facilities like ours.
The review of the cameras show that I was in the room. I told them, all right, we was talking. That's a good friend of mine.
So a PREA incident could be anything from being investigated if two women are in a cell and they're not supposed to be housed in that cell.
Everything I was doing, other inmates were doing. But you know what? They was so focused on me because I was the only boy, girl, whatever you want to call it, that was there. The attention was always drawn on Franklin.
PREA is a federal law, but this doesn't stop the inmates from having relationships.
PREA is a protection. What's PREA stand for? Protection rape, prison rape action, something.
Elimination Act.
Yeah, Prison Rape Elimination Act. But nobody raped me, so.
It was willing. Can't rape the willing.
A lot of the women, if they do claim to be in a relationship and they say, you know, that it was consensual on both sides, it is still against our policy, and that is still a situation that involves PREA. So we do not allow any relationships in our facility. We just like to keep boundaries and to prevent any assault or harassment from happening.
Most of them are gay for the stay. They come in here, they're gay. At the gate, they leave right at the gate. They go right back to a regular dude.
Like when you're in a relationship and you're biding your time with another woman, they call it catching wreck, just like you go have wreck time. So that's what they call it. That's the slang word for it. Now with Franklin being in there, there's so many girls that are on him, he likes to be called him, that are on him that you just stand back. He's a little player.
There's a difference between loyalty and faithfulness. That's two different things. I'm loyal, but I'm not faithful.
Okay, see? That's what I'm talking about. How can you be loyal if you're not faithful?
Yeah. Which, because there's a fine line in between. I'm going to fuck whatever bitch I want to fuck with, bro. That's it.
This is what he just said.
That's not being loyal.
She means she can have a wife.
And a couple of side bitches.
Okay. That's how my husband is.
Exactly. Right.
Relationships between the inmates are banned in the jail, but it seems you can't make laws about love.
Being in jail is definitely like a freaking school soap opera drama thing. So in 3B, there's a few people that like me, but there's only a couple that was arguing back and forth over me.
When Franklin first got into the pod, he was attracted to Jackie.
Yo, Jackie. Berka.
And then her attitude is stink. She has a bad attitude. She always looks mad. She's just throwing shade at other people that Franklin is interested in.
So I was getting to know Jackie, and you know, we was vibing with each other, everything was good, but like certain ways that she has too, like we used to always clash heads because like she's jealous, she doesn't like me talking to certain people, and it's like, you're not gonna tell me what I'm not gonna do. I'm gonna have to call this quits with this girl. She being easy right now.
Huh?
Yo, you know like possessive people? Like I don't like that shit. Jackie, like, she gets mad about everything. She always wants to argue, like, I'm not with all that shit. So that's why I kind of fell back from her.
And then Franklin started gravitating towards India.
Yo, you bugging. Nah, I'm on the low right now. I ain't trying to. I gotta chill.
Melisa Rojas, now her nickname is India, Miss Rojas. It's hard to even find the words to explain her, to be honest with you.
Everybody calls me India because they say I look like Pocahontas.
She is quite the entertainer in the pod, to say the least. She likes to usually always be done up. Her hair is usually done. She won't come out of her room until it is done.
Jill House curls.
India is, she's chippery. She's a cutie, so she knows she looks good. She, you know, shakes her butt up the stairs, whips her hair. She's cute, she's attractive.
All my friends describe me as crazy, out of control. She's stubborn, or like, they think I'm a bitch sometimes and I'm bougie. I'm not.
India, I kind of did like India when I first got here, but seeing the way she carries herself and seeing the way she acts is a turnoff to me.
I'ma play it cool, yeah, I love you, baby. You know I love you. All right, between me and Franklin, there is no romance. It's a jail thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it's like a real, real romance.
Partner?
And I'm not going to the hole for Priya. Yeah, that's like 30 days, and that's crazy. Like, no, that's not worth it.
It doesn't look like things are going anywhere for Franklin with Jackie or India. So for now, there's no jail romance in 3B. Heroin addict Vanessa is 8 months pregnant. She was devastated not to be able to go onto a drug treatment program after her most recent court appearance.
Right now, I'm just waiting for a letter from the program, and also documentation of my transportation, because that supposedly has been set up. Everything's been set up, but it hasn't been documentedly set up. So I'm just waiting for these last little things, and I'm so anxious and I'm scared because I want them to come through.
She knows that if she has to have her baby in jail, she's likely to lose custody. She's already had to give up her other two children to foster care and adoption.
Yes.
Can you come to the office station? Hi, Vanessa. So,
what did I do? Oh, what happened?
Good news. The program sent over the verification letter.
Oh, well, so I'll give it. I don't get jumped.
Yeah, I did call the intake coordinator, Sharina, because I was wondering about this part where it says upon release, and she said that they're holding it for your court date.
Okay.
That's your confirmation letter. It's for real.
I said yeah. It was for her.
Yeah.
Thank you. So
I'll let her know.
So
you're welcome.
Vanessa has her official confirmation, but she can't leave until her court date in a week's time.
I can have the baby there. Definitely bring my kid home with me. Be able to be a mom. Instead of just having the title, actually handle the title and do the title.
I love her, I do.
I'm excited. I did want to cry when I first got it, but I don't cry in front of people, so it's like kind of hard. But at the same time, it's just like, I thank God so much. Like, I was just in my room, like, the minute I got it, when I was putting it away, and I was like, thank you, God. Like, thank you, God, so much for this opportunity. I just actually can't wait to start doing it. That's the point where it's just like, I'm tired. I'm tired of this damn jail. I'm tired of being around these same freaking people. It's to the point where I'm just like, just get me out of here. Just get me to this program. So I'm wicked excited, and I'm grateful, too.
25-year-old India is awaiting trial for drug trafficking. She has two children who she hasn't seen in 6 months.
I gave temporary guardianship to my mom because I knew I was gonna go to jail. And it was a good thing I did because they would have took my kids away and I did not want to put them through that.
Many of the women's children are being looked after by family members. Otherwise, they could be taken into care by the Department of Children and Families, known as DCF.
I haven't seen them in 6 months. It's been a long time.
India's mother looks after her two kids, and she wants her to bring them for a visit.
And it's the way your mother looks fucked up.
I'm scared to have more kids because I'm fucked up. If I have more kids, my mom's not gonna take more kids. My mom's gonna be like, are you fucking, she told me, she always tells me when I get a boyfriend, she's like, you better get a surgery done or something because I'm not taking care of no more kids. I'm too old.
My dad is taking care of my baby.
I know.
And he's 62.
My mom had my son when he turned one, she took him. They had my kids for a while because I got locked up in 2014.
Okay, but so.
So she's been raising them.
Right.
I don't like bringing them here. It's not a place where I want them to see me. I'm scared. I'm gonna see them, but listen, just bring at least one of them. Bring my oldest.
And India knows what it's like to visit a parent in jail.
I think we were like, when I was like six, my mom went to jail for trafficking. I didn't know, like, what was gonna happen, where she was. I think we went to visit her a couple times, but my father was like really against it. Cause I remember it wasn't like here we have contact visits. I remember it had a glass. I try to tell myself I'm not, but I'm definitely, I'm like my mother. I always like, I'm not gonna be like her when I grow up or I'm gonna be different, but no, I'm definitely like my mother. Like I learned to accept it, like, yup, everything.
Her mother has agreed to bring India's daughter to visit her in a week's time.
I know it's gonna be very emotional. I'm gonna cry as soon as I see her. I'm not gonna be able to help it. I wanna cry now just thinking about it, like, oh my God. It makes me so happy. So yeah, it's gonna be a very emotional day for me. I'm excited though. Can't wait.
As a recent arrival, Franklin has to attend Transitions, an introductory class into all the educational programs at the jail. It's also the only place where pre-trial in orange and sentenced in green get to mix.
Where do you want me to sit at?
First time I saw Leslie was the first day I went to Transition, and I was in the back of the class. So Leslie turned around and was like, yeah, Franklin, come sit right here. And it's like, damn, I'm like, wow.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Transitions. Welcome to Transitions.
Transition is a mandatory class.
We was doing like a sheet in our workbook, and then she slid it to me to copy. And after that, like, we didn't say anything. When we left, I had let the door slam behind me because I didn't know she was behind me. And I turned around, I was like, oh, my fault. And she's like, yeah, it is your fault.
My fault.
It is your fault.
I was like, all right, let me see where this goes with this shorty.
After Franklin went to Transitions, he met another girl, Leslie, and he likes her. That's the one he's most interested in.
Yo, she is, yo.
I said that to her yesterday. I was like,
damn, that shit. Yo, I'm getting in every class she goes to. We're getting in the same classes. Yeah. She's cute. That's my type of shorty right there. If she was on this unit, I wouldn't deal with nobody. I wouldn't even sit close to nobody. Yo, she is the definition of it. That, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. We're going back later, girl. Can't wait. I'm like, beep, pew, be the first one in class. I'm be the first one in class. Yup, I'm gonna be the first one in fucking class today, I tell you.
In segregation, Officer Zaluki is investigating Baby D for her role in the fight at breakfast.
We're gonna do your investigation. Okay.
Victoria Diaz will have a lot to say, I'm sure, to incriminate the other one and not herself. Alrighty, we're gonna go to Donna's office, okay? I mean, Diaz, she knows we have footage of it. I'm sure she's already come up with a reason as to why she partook in the physical altercation. Right, have a seat over in that corner. anxious to see what her reasoning is. I scan your ID. This is just your signature saying that you're here.
Went to breakfast. So her and some other girl at my table was arguing or whatever, like exchanging words, and she started cussing at me. We started like arguing back and forth. She turned around, threw her milk. I stood up, she stood up, and we started fighting.
I will say this, you know how childish all this sounds.
Yeah.
You know you are all grown women.
That's why I left her alone. I left it alone, but she threw her milk at me. Like, as long as you don't throw nothing at me or like try to hit me, I'm not gonna try to fight you. She threw something at me. I was gonna leave it just as words, but she wanted to go ahead and start throwing stuff at me, so I got up.
And it was just punches. Was there any scratching or kicking?
No, I don't got nothing. Uh-huh. I don't gotta check her if she got any. I don't know. I just punched her. She really didn't get anything in though.
I'm all set for right now. So that one was good because we got to at least get to the bottom a little bit. Diaz seems to always have a problem with someone coming in there. She seems to be the root of a lot of issues. And she wants to run kind of what goes on in there, which we obviously will not let happen.
As well as trying to intimidate the new arrivals, Baby D had previously forced inmate Crystal Lugo into segregation for her own protection.
I'm here in protective custody to stay away from Diaz, and now she's here. She's in cell 20.
Crystal was forced into segregation when the jail became concerned that a hit may have been taken out on her by a notorious street gang of which Baby D is allegedly a part of.
A hit means exactly what it sounds like, I guess. Like, if they put out a hit on somebody, you're either, well, since she's in jail, obviously she can't get killed in jail, you know what I mean? But she was gonna get beat up to a point of, well, till the COs came and saved her.
Crystal is facing a number of different charges.
Kidnapping and three assault and batteries with dangerous weapons, assault and intimidation of a witness.
Authorities today calling the scenario an organized torture chamber. An unidentified teenager from New Jersey taped to a chair in the basement of a home in Massachusetts.
A machete was held at the victim's neck at the direction of Crystal, and Crystal told the victim that if she lied or continued to lie, they would hold the machete closer to her neck.
She told police that about eight people, four of them in court Wednesday, stood around her as she was tied to a chair, burned with a cigarette, and her head was shaved. All of it, retaliation for what she told officers was a home invasion that they believe she had set up.
Crystal, her charges are against my little sister. I can't be around her. They could have moved her, they could have moved Crystal to 3B or something like that. But they caught wind about a couple girls from my city, a couple girls from, like, you know, the gang that I'm in or whatever, that they're gonna come down here. They have a price on her head, so they put her, they told her about it. And either they made her come here or she asked to be in here.
Baby D has told the jail that Crystal's alleged victim was her gang sister.
She burnt cigarettes on her and cut her hair off because she thought my sister sent boys to her house and like set her up, but my sister is only 15, she didn't do that. It was her friend that did that. Her friend did it and her friend left her there. So since they couldn't get to my sister's friend, Crystal held my sister hostage and did all that crazy shit.
The gang is the one who did the home invasion on us. But I don't know if Diaz has anything to do with it.
Crystal, do you want to talk to me?
Crystal asked for a meeting with Counselor Peach to see if she can safely be moved back to Pod 3A now that Baby D is also in segregation.
What are you doing today?
I'm okay.
All right.
Did you see who's upstairs?
I did, yes, I did. So you wonder how that's going to play out for you?
Now she's here, so wouldn't it make more sense to move you back to 3A?
It does sound reasonable, but I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out.
It was made such a big deal when they wanted to move me.
And if we can get you back to 3A, you go to 3A, and then she'll, Miss Diaz will do her time here, and then she'll have to figure out where to go.
Thank you.
All right, Crystal.
Yeah. Leslie caught the eye of pre-trial inmate Franklin in a transitions class. She's housed in 2B, a pod for prisoners who have been found guilty and are serving their sentence.
I'm Leslie Rivera, and I'm sentenced for assault and battery.
She was found guilty of attacking her friend, who she believed had slept with her then-boyfriend.
I guess I beat her up pretty badly. When I fought her, I blacked out. I suffer from anger problems and PTSD, so when I blacked out, I happened to break her eye socket and break her nose. When I came out of my blackout stage, I felt like I heard a cat being run over. That's what it sounded like. And when I was coming out of it, all I could see is my whole hands and my whole shirt filled with blood. It was pretty bad. They wanted to sentence me to 2.5 years, and instead I copped out to 6 months with 2 years of probation.
Leslie has been in 2B for nearly 3 weeks, but she's yet to find a roommate she gets on with.
I personally don't like addicts because my biological mom was an addict, and 90% of this jail is addicts.
Leslie's current roommate is an addict.
She wants me out, so instead of staying in the room and continuing to argue, I think it's best for me to leave.
Let me figure it out.
All right.
So basically, with Rivera, she seems not to get along with other inmates, so what I did was just move her from 22 to 19. There's a lot of stuff that goes into account when I'm doing this tier sheet, which is, enemies, relationships, sexual misconduct stuff. And if they have admitted to trying to commit suicide in the last year, then they have to be in the lower tiers. So I have to look at all of that. So it's constant moving people, probably like 3-4 times a day, just to get everybody with the right roommate.
All right, my shit's on the right. I'll take this side. You got that side.
To avoid conflict, women get moved around the pod frequently, but Leslie has found it particularly difficult to settle.
We got abandoned from my biological mom because she was addicted to crack. And so my whole life, I didn't like anybody that did crack. I didn't like anybody that was a drug addict because I see them as irresponsible people.
Shoot. My kid's father, he passed away. He OD'd, 4 bags and a shot of fucking coke. And I'm supposed to be in a room with an addict that shoots coke and dope, and I'm supposed to feel bad and feel sympathy? No, I'm going through my own shit. I dealt with that life. She says, you don't choose to be an addict. You're actually an addict at birth. If that was true, I would be a crackhead. Why? Because my biological mom was a crackhead. She used crack the whole time she was pregnant by me. Am I a crackhead? No, I'm not a crackhead. Do I do crack? No, I don't do crack. Have I ever did crack? No, I don't do crack, and I will never do crack. So, no, we're not all addicts. She's an addict. You made your bed, now go fucking lie in it. La, 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 la.
It's Vanessa's last night in jail, and she and friend Carrie are getting their hair done.
The girl that I am going to miss, it's gonna suck because I know I'm probably gonna cry. Just a little bit. Because, you get close with a lot of people in here. You really do, especially when you open up, because a lot of women are going through exactly what you're going through. You just don't know until you open up your mouth and start talking. So it's just like, and I met a lot of really good women in here.
Vanessa has just one more sleep in jail with her curlers in, before going to court, where she'll be transferred to the drug treatment program. Next morning, she's saying her final goodbyes.
All right, I love you. Give me a hug.
I love you.
I love you.
And remember, you got a week. A week.
Right.
Fuck these girls. Fuck this bullshit. You can handle it if I can handle it. I love you, too. Make sure you call my mom, okay?
I really hope this child changes her life for the better, because she's a great person with a great heart. People look at her and, you know, look down on her because she is a mother and an addict, and you can only change for yourself. You can't want to get clean for anybody but yourself, you know, and she wants it this time, so I really hope she gets her kids back. I hope this, you know, she gets to keep this child, and I hope she just is happy. I want her to be happy. Yeah.
Let's do this. Same bus, body bus? Yep. With it. This is not just for me to get clean. This is, like, literally a whole brand new start for me. I want it, like, deep inside me, because I'm like, I just want a different life. Like, I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. No, I'm, like, beyond being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like, I hate living the way that I was living. And, like, I was looking for happiness in all the wrong places.
A lot of the times when the women leave jail, they do relapse. I mean, some of them just that day. Unfortunately, the rate of relapse is very high, which in turn, you know, causes a lot of overdoses. Because when they do leave the jail, their tolerance level has decreased because they've been incarcerated. So a lot of them will use the same amount as they were using before being arrested. And that's what a lot of time, unfortunately, causes a lot of overdose.
Vanessa is being given another chance. It's now up to her whether she can change her life. Otherwise, her child could be taken away and she could find herself back in jail. 3B is in lockdown, but 25-year-old suspected drug trafficker India is expecting a visit from her mum and daughter. So far, there's no word as to whether they've arrived.
I don't want to hear. Tell her I want to speak to her.
In regards to what? Using the phone?
Yes, I want to know where the fuck my visit is.
Ross, thank you. I will find out if your visit's here.
I thought because we were locked in that we had no visits. Like, the whole pod was, like, on lockdown, deadlock. Because if we're deadlocked, I'm going to miss my freaking visit. Like, I've been here for 6 months. I haven't seen my kid in 6 months.
No, it's only 8:11. She's talking, dealing with her situation now. Visits end at 9:30, so you should be all right. Still make the phone call, see what's going on.
Luckily, Marner was there. She, like, kind of got me to calm down. And it was pretty cool, you know? Like, she kind of did go out her way. I really do appreciate that. For her to, like, ask the wife if I could call to see where my visit was.
There's a phone in the multi. You can sneak right into the multi.
Yeah, is there a out? Can you see if the line is open? Because then we can get out of your way. Come on. All right. Hi, this is Officer Martin at the women's jail. Hi, this is the officer here. I have a call from Eliza. Yes, are you accepting the call? Okay, hold on 1 second, please, and just speak English for me, please. Okay, thank you. Hold on 1 second.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Where are you?
They
didn't let me go in. They didn't let you go in?
They didn't let me go in because they said I was wearing joggers.
No, I don't have a jogger. Oh, joggers. If they're athletic wear, they won't allow you in, so, you know. I know, but she can't wear sweatpants. I know.
And it's shit like that, that, like, that makes, it makes me mad, but, like, more at myself than anything, because I put myself in the situation, and I put, like, putting myself here puts them in a tough spot, too, you know?
Go into your room. This is not gonna be the day to be out, do you hear me? Because if you stay out, you know what's gonna happen.
So I couldn't help it, like, I broke down because, like, that's the only thing that could really get to me is my kids. And just to think that, you know, my daughter was so excited. Like, so I just feel like, damn, I broke her heart, you know?
I want you to be able to express yourself appropriately and then go through your emotions appropriately. I don't want you out here dealing with people, okay?
I have so many plans. Like, I wanted to ask her so many questions and, like, just see how long her hair was and, like, her tell me about her new friend. And I get more mad at myself because I've been through this with my mom. I have to break the cycle. I really pray to God my daughter doesn't turn out like that. I don't care if I have to tell her every day, like, you don't want to go through this. I just don't want her to feel the way I feel right now. I feel like a loser, you know, like an asshole.
Crystal Lugo and Baby Dee are still in segregation. Baby Dee is there for fighting, but Crystal is there for her own protection. Crystal wants to move back to Pod 3A now that her enemy, Baby Dee, is in seg. But the officers are still concerned that there's allegedly a hit out on her.
We're concerned about somebody getting hurt or possibly somebody getting killed, you know?
If she goes back to 3A, then that's more risk of, you know, her getting touched. Then someone can come in and still touch her. She has to be in PC. The threat's pretty real.
The victim in Crystal's case was Baby D's gang sister.
She's disgusting. She's a disgusting person. As a matter of who gets there first.
It was decided today, and I believe it came from administration. It probably came from the superintendent, Patty, to transfer Crystal out of the facility. Sometimes it's about precaution. Sometimes it's just taking precautions just in anticipation of what might happen.
Okay, Ms. Lugo, right now you're gonna be transferred to another facility for your protection, all right? So when you get on the road, we'll let you know where you're going. Okay, but at this time, I'm not at liberty to tell you. You okay? Well, yeah, I think you kind of knew this was coming a little bit, though, no? All right, but it's for your safety. We're looking out for you.
We only have 2 pretrial units here, so there's only so much we can do to keep you safe. So the only way for you to go into general population is to remove you from the situation. You haven't done anything wrong here.
I just feel so comfortable here.
Yeah, but comfortable doesn't mean necessarily mean good. When you go there, do not share your charges and your personal information with people on the unit. Because then, what's going to happen? You're going to be in the same predicament that you're in right now. The situation is what it is, okay?
If the inmate knows they're being moved, they can make trouble, they barricade themselves in. So it's best just to kind of keep them at a surprise, and that's why it's always done at the last minute. It happens very, very quickly and very, very quietly.
I don't know if they moved her so I can't see her, or if she left from court or what, but I don't know. I'll find out though.
Got it?
Everybody talks. For Christ's sake, this is a woman's jail. Women, the best thing that women do is gossip. I'm gonna know one day.